Speaking of math, there's some more equations. Thanks, David. That's awesome. Somebody who just got in their heart, they wanted to do something to make a difference, and it made a huge difference. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. We could all have an opportunity to do something like that a little bit later. Thank you for being here in person today. Thank you for those that are joining us online. We appreciate that, as well as our Westside Academy. And before we jump into today's message, just a reminder that next week we're going to be launching a new series called What You See Is What You Get. And we're going to take about 5 weeks to cover topics such as theology, ethnology, anthropology, Christology, ecclesiology, and as many other ologies as we can possibly cover to help make sure that our understanding of this world is based on a biblical worldview, because that makes all of the difference in how you view the world and how you live in today's world. We'll explain a lot more about that next week. But today we're going to finish up our series with that equation, y squared equals what plus how. And there's a saying, maybe you've heard it before, that goes, where there's a will, there's a way. And the reason they say that is because the will can be such a powerful thing. And quite often, when you know your why with some clarity, you will act and do whatever it takes to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And so imagine, if you would, today, if I had a board or a plank up here that was about 12 inches wide and 30 feet long, and I were to offer to you today to say, hey, I'm willing for anyone who would walk across that, I'll give you $1,000. And would you do that? I think, of course, you would. It'd be a piece of cake. How many of you would take $1,000 to walk across the border? Give, you know, well, yeah. Okay, you probably everybody would. I can't imagine you not wanting to do that. But what if I began to raise that board up off the ground, say to 10 feet now? If you would drop out, how about if we went to 20 feet? How about if we went to 50 feet? And I'm guessing that the higher we went, the less and less folks there would be who would take me up on that offer. Now, what if I took that same plank and I put it between two 20-story high buildings, making kind of a sky bridge? Would anyone want to walk across that for $1,000? How about $10,000? I can't imagine at that point anyone taking me up on that offer. That's because the risk of crossing it has greatly increased. I mean, you could fall, and if you did, you would die, right? But what if your child happened to be in the opposite building and that opposite building was on fire? My guess is you'd do everything you possibly could to cross that plank if you could save your child. Would you want to cross the plank with or without the $1,000? Yes, because your child's life would depend on it. And so why would you be willing to cross the plank at 20 stories high in order to save your child, but not for $1,000? It's because all of a sudden your why has changed. You have a better why than you have before. In the first scenario, you don't want to cross it because of those two buildings, because your life is at risk and it's not really worth it. You could fall and die. But in the second scenario, with the same risk, you would choose to walk across because you could possibly save your child's life. Your why is your motivation. And that's why we started 2 weeks ago with the two whys in our y squared equation. And so I want to do just a quick review so we know where we've covered if you've been here. And you can check these out online too. But our first why that we answered the question is, why do we do what we do as a church? Why do we meet like this? Why are we doing programs that we do? Why are we trying to reach people the way that we do? And what we learned really quickly is that it's because we have a God-given mandate. That God has told his people, this is what I want you to do. In Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and then teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And part of the reason why God gave us this mandate is because it's God's design that his people tell other people about him. That's the way he planned it. And so that was pretty easy for us to then come up with our mission statement as a church, which is to create Christ's followers who create Christ's followers, because that's really what God had in mind. And that led pretty quickly to our vision statement as a church. And so our vision now is to provide an opportunity for at least 100,000 people. That sounds like a lot, but it's really a drop in the bucket compared to all the people in Colorado Springs now. But we want to do that for people living in the proximity of our church so that they can experience the message of Christ and his love. That brings us to the second why in the equation, and that would be, why is it important? Why is it so significant? And what we learned is, it's because everyone's going to spend eternity somewhere. And the reason for that is, you have a body, but you are a soul. And one day you're going to put aside the body. It happens to everybody eventually. And there's not going to be the end of you, though. The Bible says there's two possible destinations where we can end up. One will be with God. It'll be amazing. The other will be separated from God. It'll be horrific. And the importance of that is that everyone's ultimate destination depends on knowing Jesus and them knowing him. That's why it's so important. Well, those two whys led to our church's three priorities that answer then for us the what and the how. So why squared equals what plus how. And last week we got kicked off with our first what and how in our priority number one. And priority number one for us is to connect with Christ and his followers. Now, obviously, it has to start with a connect with Christ, but then we need to connect with his followers. And this connection with his followers that has developed over the years is something we call the church. Remember, last week we learned the church literally means an assembly. It means Christians getting together, connecting with one another. And that's really what it's all about. And I just got to mention, last week we had some serious issues with our streaming service, and so some of our people online might not have got to see that. And so if you missed it here, you missed it there, you may have to check it online for us. And so we want to connect with Christ and his followers. And that's because the church isn't a man-made institution. It's a movement with divine design. It's something that God thought of. We didn't come up with that. And the reason God thought of it for us is that he knows, secondly, that the quality of our faith walk is enhanced in community with other believers. When we start to connect with other people, that's when we really grow. And so the how for us, that what connect, the how then is in connect groups and ministry teams. And so we know we're not going to really connect in rows, we're going to connect in circles. And so we got to get to those circles. So that kind of is a review of where we went last week. I said this week we're going to cover our priority number two and number three. And so let's start with priority number two, which is the what. We need to know, we know we need to grow intentionally in a relationship with Christ. If we're going to end up where God wants us, we need to grow intentionally in a relationship with Christ. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, there's an interesting passage of scripture. And here's what it says, like newborn babies crave. And if you've been around a newborn baby, when they get hungry, you know it's a crave. And so crave is it's a strong word. Crave pure spiritual milk so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. You should grow up now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And we all need to recognize we're supposed to be growing up in our faith, not just logging time in the kingdom, or not just growing old in the kingdom. Because think about it for a moment. Physically, what would happen if you didn't ever grow up? Imagine what it would be like if you stayed an infant or a child all of your life. That wouldn't be a good thing, would it? I mean, if you're a parent, and you have little kids, you know that when you're a parent, there are certain stages of child development that are kind of a relief to get through and get past. I call them the three D's, diapers, dressing, and dining. I mean, every parent, I think, who's raising kids would want to say, I want to get my kid out of diapers, and I want to get them to get in their own clothes on their own. I'd like them to be able to feed themselves. And all three of those things are fine for a while, but you would never want your children to remain there forever. Neither does God. And as a Christ follower, do you know what you're supposed to look like when you grow up? The answer is more and more like Jesus. That's who we're supposed to look like. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, and we all of us, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we're being transformed, changed into his image, Christ's image, with ever-increasing glory. In other words, more and more we're becoming like him, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, I just got to say as we get started, that doesn't happen by accident. The Spirit moves, but it happens because we do it on purpose. And so let me just be clear. In order to grow up in your faith and not just grow old, you need to purposely pursue Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, you need to purposely pursue Christ. And I say that because here's what I know. And sometimes I see it in my own life. There are people who have been Christians for 20 years. But they don't have really 20 years of growth in Christ. Because all too often what they've done is just repeat 1 year of growth, the same one over and over again, because they haven't really purposely been pursuing Christ. And we're supposed to be followers of Christ. And the reality is there are people, I think, who think they're following Christ, but in reality, they've just kind of invited Christ to follow them. They're like, hey, Jesus, why don't you join me on my journey of faith, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. I think that might have been the attitude of one of the religious leaders in Jesus' day, who was a Pharisee named Simon. And one day, he knew he needed to be around Jesus, so he invited Jesus over to his house for dinner. And what we discover in chapter 7 of the book of Luke is that even though Jesus was Simon's guest, he was not extended any of the common courtesies that were usually extended to guests back in those days. So, for example, when he got there, Simon's greeting of Jesus was not very warm and welcoming. He didn't provide the usual foot-washing service that was needed because of the dusty, dirty roads that they walked on back then, usually in sandaled feet. And then, to add insult to injury, Simon became incensed when, during the meal, a woman of ill repute actually knelt at Jesus' feet, and with her tears of remorse, she washed away the dirt from each one of his feet and then wiped them dry with the hair that she had. And what Jesus tried to get Simon to understand was that his response to Jesus was tainted because of his lack of understanding of his need for Christ. He was a Pharisee and a pretty good man. He didn't really know he needed Jesus. See, that's why I think that sometimes the folks who have the hardest time passionately pursuing Christ are really the ones who are good moral people. Because, like, you know, I'm really not that bad. I need some of Jesus. I don't know if I need all of Jesus. And sadly, some of us kind of treat Jesus, I think, the way Simon the Pharisee treated Jesus. I don't mind having him over for dinner, but I'm not going to go out of my way to honor him or get to know him. Now, the Apostle Paul, on the other hand, is a great example. He also had been a Pharisee. But what changed the way he looked at Christ was the recognition, finally, that he said, you know, Christ is the answer to my sin problem. And once he understood that, pursuing Christ became his passion, something he was passionate about. And one of the best places that you can read about that is in Philippians chapter 3. And I'd encourage you sometime today, sit down with the whole chapter. We're just going to take a look at one verse that kind of says it all. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss. And that everything that he was talking about was his resume of all the incredible things he had done as a religious person. He says, that's a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I've lost all things, all those things don't really mean much. In fact, I consider them garbage that I could gain Christ. And that's the kind of passion that you and I need to have about pursuing Christ. And the reason why Paul was so passionate is he was just so grateful for what he knew Christ had done for him. Now, I don't know what your view of Christ is today. It's interesting. I was just talking with an individual not that long ago who was just saying, hey, you know, Brian, I'd never really thought about Jesus being somebody that I'd be around. And I read the Bible, but it didn't really make sense. And, you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. But he was talking to me about this resource. Maybe some of you heard it. It's called The Chosen. And I want to say it's not the Bible, so you can't take it literally, but it is biblical. And there's actually an app you can watch these different seasons that they have on, and they really just show really some of the humanity of Christ. And he says, you know what, I've gotten so, Jesus is somebody that I really want to know and want to be around, and that would be important. But let me just go into the what is to grow, the how, and I've just got to mention when we start, there's no silver bullets when it comes to maturing in Christ, but there are three practices or disciplines, whatever you want to call it, that we can engage in that have been shown to help the most. I mean, if you want to do three things, these would be the three things you want to do. It's not rocket science, but it will make a difference. Now, there's a blank for that first one. Can anybody guess what the blank is? Bible or scripture reading? Yes, Bible reading. I mean, it's that simple. Just the simple act of reading the Bible on a regular basis. And that's why we do stuff like the Bible book club that we've got going, just to kind of help motivate people. And I've got to say, if you notice, we had a big goal. We're way behind it. And that might be not because you're not reading books of the Bible, because you just haven't reported them yet. So if you haven't reported them, help us know exactly where we at. But what I would say is Bible reading has never been easier. We have more access to the Word of God today than ever before. I mean, you can buy Bibles at Walmart, you can get them at Target, you can get them almost anywhere. If you don't have a Bible with you, I bet you actually do, because most of you don't go anywhere without your phone. And everybody can have a version of the Bible on their phone, or multiple versions on the phone. It can be on your computer. We just have incredible access to it. And it's really been demonstrated that the more you read the Bible, just read the Bible, the more likely you will be to obey God, deny yourself, serve God and others, share Christ, exercise your faith, seek God, build relationships, and be unashamed about your faith. That's one of the incredible benefits. Now, I know that one of the challenges that you have when you get into reading the Word is you say, I'm trying to get into the Word of God, but I don't know if it's getting in to me. I read something, and I'm not sure what to do with it. And that's why this morning, honestly, we don't have time to go over it much, but in your program today, there's this soap brochure. And this is an excellent little discipline that I found helps people not only get into the Word, but actually gets the Word into them. And SOAP stands for an acrostic: scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And you just pray and say, God, as I read today, show me what I need to see in my life. And the Holy Spirit will oftentimes just highlight a verse or a thought. And then you just write that scripture down. Yes, write it down. I don't like writing any more than you do, but you write it down. And then you just observe what it is. You don't have to have a biblical degree. And just write down those observations. Write down an application. What am I going to do with this? And this is one of the ways that we can really grow. And so I want you to think, reading, it can be like taking a bite of nourishing spiritual food. But this soaping is actually more like swallowing it. And you know, it's going to be a lot more nutritious for you if you not only take a bite of your food, but you swallow it as well. It'll be a lot more helpful. And I got to say, this whole thing with Bible reading, you're not going to find time. You're going to have to choose to make time. And we probably really do have some time, because I just, you know, every week now on my phone, I get an update of how much time I've spent in screen time. And there's a lot of us that have time to spend on social media and watching the television and in front of the computer. I'm always amazed I can spend 2 hours, you know, sitting in front of the TV watching a movie and then have a hard time finding even 10 minutes to be able to read the Bible. You got to make time. But if we don't make time, the Bible actually says, here's what happens to us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 14, he writes and says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers. I mean, you've been a Christ follower long enough. You should be able to teach other people, but now you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You still need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness that you would have if you'd spend time in God's word. It says, but solid food is for the mature who by what? Constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. If you want to get more out of the Bible, you just got to get into the Bible more. So Bible reading, second thing you can do, attend worship services, which you can check that off because you're here this morning or you're watching online. And really, if you think about it, there's just three main elements in our worship services, and all of them are intended to help us grow. We start off with songs of praise and worship, through which we're trying to remind ourselves who God is and what he can and has done for us, and then remind ourselves that we're not God. And then we spend time in communion, and that reminds us of how much God loves us just the way we are and how he demonstrated that love for us in sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And then, like where we are right now, usually, hopefully, there's some helpful teaching and instruction from God's word by those who've been called by God to shepherd and lead his people. And we can't drop this off, and it is in this country. Worship attendance going down. You know, it used to be that someone was considered a regular attender if they attended church 3 Sundays out of 4. They would be considered a regular attender. But today in 2021, you're considered a regular attender at a church if you attend 1 Sunday out of 4. Just 1 Sunday out of 4. And you know what? I'm so thankful because I think we do better than that here at ACC. I'm thankful for people who make an effort to be in services even when it's not the most convenient. I mean, just last Sunday, I saw a family who normally attends like the 9:30 service, but they all walk in with their family at 8 o'clock. And they could have blown off services that day because they had to go up to Boulder for a soccer game, and they could have just said, hey, it's going to be a long time. We got to drive, and so we're just going to skip church today. But they said, no, they have an 8 o'clock service, and so we're going to go, and we're going to be there even when it's not convenient. And so I appreciate people who are doing that. And I appreciate people who are continuing to watch us online because it's not really safe for them maybe to be in a group yet. And so they're hanging in there a year and a half that they've stayed a part of the worship services. And then, of course, the third thing would be groups and classes that we have. And really, we talked a lot about this last week, so I'm not going to say much. But we all need to rub elbows with other people who are also purposely pursuing Christ. Those are our connect groups that we want you to get involved in. And those are three important things that you can do to pursue Christ and grow in him. It's also why I know that Satan is going to do absolutely everything possible he can to give you every excuse to keep from doing it. And so you're going to have to love Christ enough to want to pursue that. Well, that brings us to the third of our answering our what questions, which is priority number three. And priority number three, as you know, hopefully, is to impact our community and the world with the message of Christ and his love. And again, it's just part of what God made us responsible for. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his followers before he left, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." So we can't do this work without the power of the Holy Spirit. But he says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And I think if Jesus showed up today, he'd say almost the exact same thing. He'd change the names of the communities that we were going to be serving in. But we start with our local community. And we start local, then we go national, and then we go international. Now, when we talk about being a witness, there's really two ways that we witness. We witness by delivering the message of Christ. But we also witness by serving others in a way that demonstrates the love of Christ. And so I want you to think about this today. We don't grow just for the sake of growth. I want to grow just because I want to get more mature. We grow in order to make an impact in this world on behalf of Christ. And I want you to know, historically, if you think about it, honestly, that's what the church has often done. They haven't always got it right, but it's often what the church has done. There's a pastor I used to know whose name was Russ Blowers. He's gone to be with Jesus already. But one time he was asked to give a speech at a service club that he was a part of. And they said, "Hey, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?" And so here's what he shared in his introduction and really his connection with the church. He said, "Hi, I'm Russ Blowers. I'm with a global enterprise. We have branches in every country in the world. We have our representatives in nearly every parliament and boardroom on earth. We're into motivation and behavioral transformation. We run hospitals and feeding stations and crisis pregnancy centers and universities and publishing houses and nursing homes. We care for our clients from birth to death. We're into life and fire insurance. We perform spiritual heart transplants. We do search and rescue. Our original organizer owns all the real estate on earth, plus an assortment of galaxies and constellations. He knows everything, and he lives everywhere. Our product is free for the asking, but no amount of money can buy it." And it's important that as Christ followers, we understand that no amount of money can purchase the grace of God. And so when we talk about making an impact, it's not so that we can earn our salvation, but it is a part of becoming a Christ follower. We know that because Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he shares these words in the first two verses. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast." And so getting our salvation is not about works, but it doesn't stop there. It's interesting, it goes right on the next verse. It says, "For we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we just got to be clear when we talk about serving and making a difference. You're not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. And that's really one of the reasons why our third priority is to impact our community and the world with the message of Christ and his love. And that's because people need to both hear the gospel as well as see the gospel through love in action. Jesus actually said, "They'll know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for one another." And so I want to share with you three important, what we're calling circles of influence, where this impact is really going to be accomplished in our lives. And so the first circle of influence is what we call the circle of believers. The circle of believers. And in this circle, everyone participating is already an insider. They're already a Christ follower. An example of this might be a men's or women's retreat, a prayer gathering, a small group meeting where only, you know, believers are present. And that's okay. We learned last week that our lives can have an impact on other believers as we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. But these other two are really where we want to have the impact as well, and that would be the circle of invitation. And the circle of invitation, these are events where Christ followers have the opportunity to invite and welcome those that are not yet Christ followers. And we want to do that as much as possible. Now, an example of that, of course, would be our weekend services, if we're doing them right. We hope we're doing them in a way that you would say, hey, I would invite my coworker or my friend or my neighbor. I would invite them. It could be family fun night, which we have. And another one, which is actually happening next month, at the end of the month, we do a trunk or treat that really we need everybody in the church getting involved in, because it is a church-wide event. And we invite people from our community to come here and then encourage them. And every time we have one of those for months afterwards, Julie, our children's pastor, will say, we had another family come because of trunk or treat. It's so powerful. And then the third is the circle of outreach. The circle of outreach. And these are also events where Christ followers are present, but there's really more people there who probably aren't followers of Christ, because it isn't in the context of the church. And it's still a place where we can have an impact. An example might be a baseball game, a council meeting, the mall. Do we still have malls? I think there's still malls. They're not doing very well. A school, a workplace, or a neighbor's party. Now, that's really the how. Which brings us, or the what, that brings us to the how. And I just want to provide three opportunities to impact our community and the world with the message of Christ and his love. The first one would be becoming everyday missionaries. And, you know, we try to encourage people to talk about having everyday missionary moments. And an everyday missionary is simply any Christ follower who recognizes that they're on mission with Jesus. And so they're always on the lookout for ways to point people in Jesus' direction. And that can be kind of awkward sometimes because, you know, who gave me the authority to interrupt their lives? And actually, Jesus gave all of us the authority to interrupt other people's lives in order to tell them about him. I did want to mention, if you've been using those I hope you know how much God love you cards, if you ran out, there's some packets out at the Welcome Center that you can pick up. So that would be the first way. The second way is what we call our community impact ministry. Community impact ministry. And this ministry actually looks for opportunities for us to demonstrate the love of Christ to our community in tangible ways, which, if we're going to reach the world like we need to, is so important, because what we know is that people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care and that you really love and care about them. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to do. And I got to tell you, coming up this coming Saturday, there's a great opportunity that you could have to demonstrate the message of Christ and his love. One Saturday a year, the churches in Colorado Springs join together an organization called Cause I Love You, and we do city serve. And it's coming up this Saturday, October 2nd. There's a kiosk out in the foyer. If you'd like to help with that, I would encourage you to do so, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And this is something we actually used to do as a church ourselves. One Sunday a year, we had Be the Church Sunday. We'd just dismiss services on Sunday morning, and we'd all go out and we'd serve our community. And we decided we wanted to partner with other churches so that we could show to the community a united front with the other churches. Now, I've got to say one more thing that would be very helpful. At our Westside campus, they're getting ready to start an after-school program. And they're right across the street from a school, and so these kids can come over, and they're going to, you know, help them with some tutoring, and then give them a Bible lesson, and give them some snacks. Snacks maybe twice. They're going to do a lot of those. But they need to be able to do this on Tuesdays afternoons. They need some volunteers who could help out from 2:30 to 5:30. And if you'd be interested in that, I'd encourage you to just email Liz, L-I-Z, Liz at academychristian.org. She would appreciate that. And then thirdly, we're going to do it by supporting world missions. This next year, over $300,000 right from our budget will go to support work that is away from this location. And the major portion of that is going to be going to under-resourced places around the world, so that those people, because they don't have the resources that we do, have the same opportunity to hear about Christ as we do. Now, the question might be, well, what can I do, you know, supporting world missions? Well, you can continue to give faithfully, like you have, because that helps us be able to give. But you know what you could also do? What David Bibikhaus and his daughter did is go on a missions trip. I would encourage, I'd implore every Christ follower to try to get on at least one mission trip. You get a chance to talk to David, and it changed his perspective. It's kind of messed up his world in a good way. Because he could get to the end of his life and say, look at what I worked and what I did. Did it really make a difference? Or he could really say, you know what? I made an eternal impact with our life. Well, folks, I mentioned that because this thing we call Christianity is not an insurance plan. It's a dangerous plan. It's a dangerous plan because it's going to require you to take some risks on behalf of the kingdom. And that's because all of us, we've been called by God, if you're a Christ follower, to stand in the gap as peacemakers and grace givers and tone setters and truth tellers and joy bringers and risk takers. And someone's eternity could be on the line because there are people waiting for you on the other side of the risk that God is asking you to take. And the real question will be, will you do something that could help somebody else spend an eternity in heaven? And will it be risky? Yes. You're going to risk rejection. You're going to risk misunderstanding. You're probably going to risk even failure. But somebody who gets to spend eternity in heaven would be eternally grateful. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we think about this incredible task that is before us, with 7 billion plus people on this planet, what difference can we really make in just our tiny little part of the world? Father, I pray that you would implore upon us just the reality that we could make a difference in that person's life or that person's life or another person's life. There are people all around us that we come into contact every day that we could make a difference in. And I pray that we would want to make a difference because we've been growing in our relationship with you. We've been pursuing you. And because your love has touched our life, we want it to touch other people's lives. So that as a church, we could have the impact that you've called us to have. Not just from this space and place, but all over our city, and even all over our nation, and even around the world. God, help us to lean in and be a part of your vision for us, to be able to have an influence in this world. And Father, we ask and we pray all of that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.